John chapter 1, and we'll just spend some time in this first chapter for a little bit. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. How many of you here this morning are thankful for grace? How many of us really understands what grace is? The opening of John's gospel, the prologue, is considered to be the most theological, spiritual, mysterious, to the point, awesome, heart-engaging, truthful, emphatic, controversial, and memorable statements in all of Scripture. You see, in this introduction, believers and unbelievers alike are faced with a stark declaration regarding our origins, regarding our present state, and regarding the rest of our destinies. You see, in this introduction, our author is determined to share with the readers of this writing many different themes. But what sticks out to me and where I want us to focus for a few moments this morning is verse number 16, which reads this way in the Message translation. It says, we all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. In the New Living Translation, it says, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. And in the New American Standard, this is my favorite. For of his fullness, we have all received, and grace upon grace. No better way to put it. In the simplest of terms, our writer wants the readers to know that grace is the way, that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, that we are recipients of grace upon grace, blessing after blessing, favor after favor, good thing after good thing. This is what we enjoy as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. This is our destiny. This is our life. This is our journey. Grace upon grace. See, sometimes we get away from the simple truth of the matter. And this morning, I want us to reflect on God's grace. And we are sometimes led to believe that grace is some New Testament thing and not an Old Testament thing. And I beg to differ. Grace was in the beginning, grace is in the present, and grace will be in the future. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. On day six, he created man and said this to man, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. Do you see that in the very beginning, God was a giver? And the gift was not based on the actions of the recipient. Adam and Eve didn't do something to get this gift from God. God just gave it to them. Church, that's grace. Sarah, one of the matriarchs of Israel, Sarah, Abraham's wife, couldn't have children. But as God was going to use Abraham, God used Sarah as well. The text says this about her situation in Genesis chapter 21. Now the Lord was, say this with me, gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Grace is not a New Testament thing. We see it all over the Old Testament. The priestly blessing that was to be prayed over the people by the priests speaks of God's grace. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, and verse number 23, says this, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be what, church? Gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Grace is the very nature of God. And the people of old repeated it as a reminder of who he was. It was part of their hymn book. In the book of Psalms, you see this throughout the book of Psalms. Psalm 86 in verse number 14. It says, the arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life. Men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and what, church? A gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 103 in verse 8, that psalm by David, where Psalm said, where he writes this, the Lord is compassionate and what? Gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Psalm 116, starting at verse number 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. The prophets of old, trying to get the people to return to God, invoke the grace of God. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, starting at verse number 12. It says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is what? Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Church, grace is not a new thing. It's not a new phenomenon. It's not a New Testament innovation. It is the nature of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word became flesh, and we call him Jesus. And through Jesus, you and I have been recipients of grace and truth. In fact, we have been blessed with grace upon grace. And sometimes it's okay to just simply celebrate God's grace. Amen. Yep. Sometimes it's just okay to just celebrate and thank God for his grace. You see, there are times to come together with somber tones to reflect upon tragedies. And then there are times that our mourning is turned into dancing because of God's grace. You see, there are times to share with the body disappointment and failing or committing a sin. And then there are times to celebrate God's forgiving grace. Church, there are times to come together to discuss bewildering theology and biblical themes that we don't understand. And then there are times that we, with reckless abandon, we just rejoice in the mysteries of God's grace. So let me ask you again, how many of you here are thankful for God's grace? And there's a song that goes this way. Where would I be if not for your grace carrying me through every season? Where would I be if not for your grace? You come to my rescue, and I just want to thank you for your grace. Author Max Lucado writes this in his book on grace. Grace is more than we deserve and greater than we can imagine. This is the grace that came through Jesus Christ. And those who have said yes to that free gift and have received it. Romans chapter 3, verse number 22 says this. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his what, church? Grace. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. How many of you are thankful for God's grace? You see, grace has restored us, and grace has redeemed us, and grace has repaired us, and grace has released us. You see, church, grace means we are free from the law. Grace means that we are free from the bondage of sin. Grace means that we are free from ceremony. You see, church, grace allows us to live. Grace allows us to grow. Grace allows us to flourish. Do you see, church, that grace enables us to love? And grace enables us to forgive? And grace enables us to worship? So I ask again, church, how many of you are thankful for God's grace? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. And pay attention to the words underlined and in yellow. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Somebody said the best way to summarize Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 is to put together those words that were underlined in yellow. So if you do that, you get this. As for you, you were dead. But because of his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ by grace, and this not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. We need to start being more thankful for God's grace. We need to take a little bit more pressure off of ourselves, thinking that we can save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't do it. Our works mean nothing. It is the saving work of God's grace. And it is a free gift. All we need to do is say yes and take it. How many of you believe that God is a giver? How many of you believe that God wants to give to us, that God wants to give us grace upon grace? Amen. This morning, how will we respond to God's grace? Will we leave his gift, or will we receive it and bask in the fullness of his grace? God is ready to give to you and me. He is a giver. He is a great gift giver. Coupled with the hustle and tussle of this life, is the presence of God's grace, who someone said is this, God's riches at Christ's expense. We just sang a song or chorus of a song just a minute ago saying that Jesus paid it all. So why do we think we can pay a little? Why do we think we can pay a percentage? Jesus paid it all because of God's grace. That's some of the most freeing words that I could ever hear. That's sweet music to my ears, to think that all I need to do is say yes. I'll take that gift. So that's where we're left this morning. What are we going to do with God's grace? Are we going to leave it? Say, no need. I'm going to just keep working it. I'm going to keep doing my thing. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to blood, sweat, and tears. I read about a Savior that went through blood, sweat, and tears so that we wouldn't have to do it. What are we going to do with God's grace? Will you come to this fountain that is freely flowing for all of us? And will you say yes to him? If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, and you felt like you've been working, I gotta work, I gotta tug, I gotta blood, sweat, and tears, I want to offer you this, God's grace, to say, stop trying to do it yourself. You can't do it. You need me, and here is my free gift. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ and you got some questions about becoming a believer in Christ, you've got some questions about what it means to be a disciple of Christ, I want to offer to you that same invitation to come to this fountain that is free flowing with God's grace. And all you need to do is say, yes, I'll take it. I guarantee when Adam and Eve were in the garden and God says, I'm giving you all this, they just took it. They didn't say, no, we'll make some birds and we'll make some fish in the sea and we'll make some plants. They received it. And I want you to know that God's grace is available even when we mess up. Read the end of chapter 3 of Genesis. After Adam and Eve sinned bad, do you know who gave Adam and Eve clothing? God. That's grace. And that same grace is available to us in 2013. What are we going to do with God's grace? If you're thankful for God's grace, I encourage you to celebrate that grace at every given moment. If you're not a child of God, you're not a Christian, you're not a disciple, you want to profess faith in him, you want to make a decision to change your viewpoint and walk towards him, you know, as a ministry of this church, ministry of what we are supposed to be doing in God's kingdom, we'll receive that profession of faith. We'll baptize you into Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with God's grace? I pray as we sing this song, there's a fountain free. We'll be reminded that God's love, God's grace, his very nature is upon us. His very nature has invaded us. His very nature is that of grace. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. Do you see that? Grace in its very natural form came and lived among us. What are we going to do with God's grace? As we sing this song, if there's anything that the church can do for you, if we can pray for you, if we could, you want to share some news with us, you want to share some celebratory news with us, if you just want to celebrate God's grace, you can come as we sing this song. If you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian this morning, you can come as we sing this song. Let's stand, let's sing.